episode 11?
12.
12. Episode 12, No Gruffs Given. I want to start by saying, so obviously, well, you know what? Yeah, I would love to start by saying, you know what? We're going to talk about something different today, but we're not. We're not, because we're in the thick of things. We're in the shit. Actually, this week, there's so much going on. It is a complete shit show. It's a shit show out there. I want to start by saying, so if you're in wherever you are, I don't know where you are. You're in the US, you're in Canada, you're in Australia, Great Britain. What can you do if you don't feel like you want to support the narrative? Well, you can just stop being a part of the narrative. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that for some reason I stumbled upon this article because I was looking at the whole Novak Djokovic situation in Australia. So I stumble on this article by this guy by the name of Jack Todd. This fucking guy, Jack Todd, okay? Which is interesting because I thought that all of the talented writers, sports writers, worked for The Athletic, which, you know, RIP The Athletic, because they just got bought by the New York Times. And Michael, you read The Athletic. You love The Athletic.
Love it, yeah.
It's going to go to shit. It's fucked, okay? So the reason I'm saying this is that this guy, Jack Todd, obviously is not that talented because he doesn't work for The Athletic. He still works for the Montreal Gazette. If you read or subscribe to the Montreal Gazette, you need to cancel your subscription ASAP if you want to make a stand, because this guy is the biggest fucking clown I have ever read in sports, all right? Here's the title. Jack Todd, Novak Djokovic is behaving like a spoiled brat. Anti-vaxxer is everything that drives those who are simply trying to survive into a blind rage. So, first of all, Jack Todd, how the fuck do you know that Novak Djokovic is an anti-vaxxer? You have no idea. You actually don't know, okay? Now, he has had COVID. Now, you could say, well, he had COVID just this past December. So why didn't he get vaccinated prior to that? What all you fucking sports writers need to realize is that professional athletes' bodies are their temple, okay? The way that they make a living, the way that they entertain you and the fans and put food on their table for their family is via their body, all right? So when they have a decision to make to put something into their body that they're not really sure what it is because the people making it haven't told us what it really is or what it really does because it's still on an emergency use authorization, well, that doesn't qualify somebody as being an anti-vaxxer. That actually qualifies somebody as being a professional and taking care of their vessel. So let me go into this. I'm going to read the article. Fuck it, okay? It has all the elements necessary for a boring 20s melodrama. The entitled celebrity brat, the looming court battle, the right to collective health and safety versus one person's desire to do as he pleases. Bored with Netflix? Question mark. Watch Novak Djokovic the day after a positive test for COVID-19 in December, shaking hands and presenting trophies in Belgrade with nary a mask in sight. So clever. With nary a mask in sight. Fed up with the anti-vaxxers clogging our hospitals? Fake news. That's what? Where, Jack? Where are they fucking clogging up our hospitals? Shake a fist and curse the stubborn idiocy of Djokovic, setting himself up for a fall by refusing to get vaccinated, then casting himself in the role of victim and martyr. Well, actually, Jack Todd, you dumb fuck, he's the furthest thing from that because he's a free man. He won the court case, and now he's going to play in the Australian Open and possibly defend it and go back to back. So stick that up your fucking wazoo, Jack Todd. I'll go on. For people who have lined up to get their vaccines, worn masks, washed their hands, accepted every restriction, even grumbled their way through the most recent unnecessary curfew, Djokovic is everything that drives those who are simply trying to survive into a blind rage. Not without reason, Djokovic is one of the more conspicuous multimillionaires in the world of sport. His primary residence is a spectacular hillside mansion in Monaco where he lives without the burden of income taxes. He owns an apartment in Miami that looks like the deck of an interstellar spacecraft. Jack, you left out the fact that there's no state tax in Florida, you dumb fuck. All this, and while Canada's men were quietly winning a brilliant ATP Cup title, like anyone gives a fuck, Djokovic's whining was still center stage down under. Djokovic's rivals have been some of the great gentlemen in the history of tennis, Nadal, Murray, Federer. Next to him, Djokovic is a spoiled, childish clown trotting his fake science around the globe. Fake science. Wow. Bold words, Jack Todd. Djokovic is hardly the one. The NHL has Cole Beasley and Aaron Rodgers, who dodges the vaccines and lies about it. Hockey has Tyler Bertuzzi, who shows his great team spirit by refusing to get vaccinated so he can play in Canada. This guy is the biggest fucking idiot to ever put pen to paper in sports writing history. That is a fact, okay? It even gets better. The NBA has flat earther Kyrie Irving. But Djokovic is the worst of the lot. He flaunts rules and reason by attending a public function unmasked the day after a positive test. He expects an entire nation to bend its rules for him. He questions the right of a foreign nation to protect its borders and its people from disease. He refuses to take even the most basic precautions after a positive test. Through it all, he casts himself as a victim, protesting against his brief stay in an immigration hotel with 33 souls who are in genuine limbo, including some who have been there as long as 9 years. What the fuck does that mean? There's been people in an immigration hotel in Australia for 9 years, and that's fucking Novak Djokovic's fault? I'd say it's the guy that's been in a fucking immigration hotel for 9 years' fault. A court in Australia will hear Djokovic's appeal Monday morning, Sunday evening in Montreal, and deliver a ruling quite possibly too late for Tuesday's draw. Presuming he is turned away in Australia, he'll probably face the same dilemma if he wants to play at Roland Garros, act like a grown-up and get vaccinated, or behave like a spoiled child and miss another Grand Slam. Under the circumstances, this was quite a fucking bold assumption this shitbag Jack Todd was making, right? Just assuming that there's no way that this was going to, he was actually going to win with the Australian Supreme Court, which he did. Under the circumstances, it was refreshing to hear what the level-headed Nadal had to say. I believe in what the people who know about medicine say. I'm sure you do, Rafa. What the fuck? Okay, great. What the level-headed Nadal? That's it. That's the article. Oh, and then it goes into the Montreal Canadiens. He writes about how just an unbelievable move it was for the Montreal Canadiens to hire this Chantal Maccabee as the vice president of communications. Which brings me to the, you know what? I'll leave it at that, okay? So, Jack Todd is easily the worst sports writer in Canadian fucking history. If you are a subscriber to the Montreal Gazette and you think that what's going on is an injustice, cancel your subscription now and let's start a hashtag fuck Jack Todd. Hashtag fuck Jack Todd. Let's get that trending in Canada. Episode 12. No gruffs given. Well, we're on sports, so listen, okay? We see all the news. We see everything, you know, that's going on, right? How do we get our mind off of it? We put a little juice on a game, okay? Spreads is back, all right? We're running a promotion, okay? Now, Spreads are my guys, okay? You know that. They've been with me since the beginning. I explained to you the guys behind Spreads. I roll with them. So we're going to do a little bit of a promotion, all right? You're going to go to www.spreads.ca/gruff25, all right? You're going to get up to $1,000 in deposit bonuses. We're going to give you a free $25 sports bet. But I want to mention this promo that we're doing for NFL wild card games, running a parlay boost for Saturday games. You know, everybody loves a boost, right? You got to get boosted. Well, we're going to give you a boost at spreads.ca. If you take the over in both games in a parlay, your odds will boost to a 4. Okay? So if you take the over in both games in a parlay, your odds are going to boost to a 4. Also, direct listeners to be on the lookout for more boosts and specials, which I believe that I have right here. Let me tell you this right now. So Scott sent me all this. Okay, so here's, let me just explain this. Okay, so the playoffs are set for the wild card weekend. 2 games Saturday, 3 games Sunday, and 1 game on the holiday Monday for MLK Day. We got a parlay boost up for Saturday where you take the over in both of Saturday's games and we'll boost it to an even 4 or 3 or to 1 odds. Same thing expressed differently, whatever the fuck that means. Okay? Basically, so this is it. So if the Raiders and the Bengals over 49.5 for the total, with the Patriots and the Bills over 43.5 for their total, and the odds of that come to a 3-6-4 normally, we're boosting it to 4. So we're giving you better odds. So if you're a better and you want better odds and you want to get in on the action, the over action, you know, playoffs, the big guns come out. Everybody's fucking shot up. They're feeling good. Okay. You get that needle. You say, Doc, give me the needle. It's the playoffs. I just got goosebumps in the back of my neck because I know when the playoffs come, you stop with that oral contraceptive shit, whatever they say, they give it to you orally, and you get the needle. You get to bend over the table. Sometimes there's a line. Guys are waiting. You get to bend over the needle, the table, for the needle. They take the needle, they stick it in your butt, all right, in your butt cheek. You get a little twinge, you feel it, the hair stands on the fucking up on your neck. You walk around a little bit. You got to get it moving, right? It's probably, God knows what it's like to get you get it moving. Okay, by the time you're back in your stall, you feel like Superman. You could run through a fucking wall. Okay, that's what the Toradol does. It's a wonder drug. So these guys are going to be juiced up. They're going to be juicing with Toradol. You're going to have big numbers. So if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but I like to advise people on how to bet because, you know, that's what I do. It's an anomaly. I don't fucking know. I don't actually care if you bet or not, but I'm saying I'm going to help you. You would say these guys are going to be throwing darts out here. We're going to have big scoring games. I'm going to take the fucking over. All right. Spreads is going to give me a little booster action and it's come see, come saw. We're in happy time. You win money. You feel good. You look good. You got to use the code GRUFF25. Okay. When you go to spreads.ca/GRUFF25, that's going to give you the option to get these boosters and just boost your juice. Okay. Episode 12, no gruffs given. Okay, let's go. What else do I got? You know what? February 2nd, 2022. It's coming up. February 2nd, 2022. It's going to be 20,000 days since the Maple Leafs last won a Stanley Cup. Did you know that, Michael?
I did not know that. It gets
you excited, right? 20,000 days since the Leafs last won a Stanley Cup, February 2nd, 2022. 20,000 days. Doesn't sound that much, but that's a long time, okay? That's a long fucking time. George Floyd's niece, she's 4 years old. She got shot. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but if it is, that's fuck bad luck, right? The 4-year-old's okay, okay? Who's shooting at her or at the house? I don't know. Will we see an investigation? Probably not. Yeah. Oh, the Stop the Whistle program. This is a good one. The Whistle Stop program. Let me just read this to you, okay? I got notes. Oh, Chicago alderman, Michelle Smith. She's a Democrat, Ward 43, wants her constituents to wear whistles, which they can blow while running towards armed robbers should they witness a crime taking place. That's the Whistle Stop Program, okay? It existed in Lincoln Park in the early 1970s. She claimed that blowing a whistle while running at the robber forces the offender to flee and helps the police pinpoint the location of the crime. This is incredible, okay? I would have said to her, lady, you're crazy, all right? Blowing a whistle while running at the robber forces the offender to flee. But when you back that up by the cherry on top saying those whistles are going to help police pinpoint the location of the crime, you've lost the fucking plot. You are out of your mind, lady. Do you understand what you're saying that you put on paper? You think the whistles that people are going to blow while they're getting robbed by armed robbers are, first of all, going to scare the robbers away. But not only that, you think that the whistles blowing into the fucking air are going to pinpoint the location so the cops are going to be able to find you faster. That is what we're dealing with today. Modern day. These are the politicians that are dictating the flow, the ebbs and flows of us living our lives. It's a fact. It's a fact. Tom Brady. Yeah, I was going to talk about AB. AB went on the Nelk podcast. Okay. So fuck me. I've listened to it twice and I said to myself, there's so much to unpack because he turned it into a kumbaya session, which was great. Like I loved how he really took over and he performed. He was a performer in this podcast. All right. Colin Kyle, Mustard. And it was all over the place. I have no idea. I know what happened, some of it, but here's the thing. He made some good points. Okay. He talked about Brady being his friend because I can ball. Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you're not friends with, like, first of all, if you can't ball, you're not on the team. So that was all kind of skewed. All right. The point is he was a lot smarter than I thought. He had a well-crafted message that made a lot of interesting points and made the news. Okay. The thing where he lost me was, you know, the whole thing where they started talking about CTE. And this is what I did really enjoy him saying, you know, and this happens to me. Anytime somebody wants to dismiss you on social media, regular people, they'll say to an athlete, guy's got CTE, leave him alone. It's so funny, right? These fucking jock sniffing losers that live at home, that get their enjoyment via sports, when they want to disagree or fight or troll one of these athletes that they look up to, online, they throw a CTE dart at them. Now, here's the facts, okay? Sports is vicious. It's a contact sport, okay? Hockey, it's fucking rough and tumble. Big hits. Yeah. Slap shots to the face, to the chin, elbows. You're running the whole gamut. Football, same thing. CTE is from trauma, all right? These athletes are warriors. They're going to end up with some CTE. The thing that I can tell you is, now, I can't tell you this for certain, but, you know, I've been there and I've done it, all right? So, CTE and too much time equals a disaster. Now, I think some of these guys have had bad CTE where it's been really bad. The Junior Seau's, okay, where there were fucking voices in their head or there was ringing that they couldn't get rid of. I don't know. I played a pretty rough and tumble game, okay? Do I think I have CTE? Probably a little bit. When they cut me open at some point, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have trauma to my brain, right? Well, I was in a war. That's what happens. Does it affect my day-to-day decision-making? I don't know. I don't know. I'll tell you what happens, though. The dangerous recipe is if you have maybe some sort of form of CTE and then you don't have any purpose in life, then you're fucked, all right? Then the not having any purpose in your life takes over everything and you become a fuck up and you do things that, you know, fuck ups do. that was an interesting angle that AB took. I thought it was a very interesting article. But the reason I got on this is because Tom Brady last night, they were winning the game by 2 touchdowns. He went into the game. He defied the coach's orders because Gronk had a bonus. I mean, that's how you roll. You roll like that with your G-men, okay? You guys look good, feel good. My guy Gronk needs a bonus. I'm going back in the game. I'm getting him $500,000 bonus. The amount of balls this guy's gone up for me and caught. And again, you'll read some of these fucking sports writers that say that was a selfish move by Brady. Could have put his whole team's future in jeopardy. It's fucking football. It's what these guys do, okay? Do you know how many times Gronk went up and caught a ball for Tom Brady? And for Brady, Brady's a mensch. Brady, I hope to God Brady did that. Because if he didn't, it would have changed my whole opinion on him. I assume that Tom Brady's going to do that because it's the right thing. And when you do the right thing, you're a mensch for the most part. What else do I have? I got some stuff. We're going to have an interesting interview. Okay. It's an interesting interview that we're going to, we're going to hear behind the curtain a little bit. In the meantime though, another new company, which I want to explain to you, which is a very interesting company. Okay. They're called Masterworks. All right. So New York's famous for a lot of things, the Rangers, the stock market, the Empire State Building. Can I get a bing bong? Most people don't realize that NYC is also the center of the booming art market, all right? Now, the Wall Street Journal recently reported that art is one of the hottest markets on earth. By the way, Fred Durst works out at my gym now. I talk to Fred every single day. Fred Durst just started an Instagram account that I was like, what is going on? He's trolling, but he's full metaverse, okay? Durst is living in the metaverse physically. So I knew there was something. This guy is a fucking, I knew Durst was a legend. Okay. I always heard the stories. Woodstock, like, fuck. I mean, Durst, you put on Limp Bizkit, still holds up today. Actually, as good today as it did 25 years ago. So I saw him walking out today. I said, what's up? What's going on with the Instagram? You're full, like, it, he goes, yeah, I'm trolling a little bit. The fact that he said he's trolling a little bit right off the bat, it clicked. I got the whole thing. He's taking this different approach to his Instagram. It's wildly fascinating, okay? He's full metaverse NFTs. The reason I started talking about that, the art market. NFTs are part of it, but, you know, we have to understand owning world-class art, that's something that for the most part, it's been a 1%er category, not even the 0.2%er category. A Picasso sold for $103 million last May. All right. What's more, blue chip art prices have outpaced the S&P 500 since 95. That's why there's so many investors and they're so bullish on art. Now you might not be flush with cash like James Dolan. You might be locked out of this asset class. Okay. Well, now you can invest in works by the Warhols, the Picassos, the Banksys, Basquiats without dropping $50 million thanks to Masterworks. I've done a lot of research on these guys. I like them a lot, okay? So for you, what does that mean? Well, it means you can allocate a part of your portfolio to art. You can take some of your money and say, I'm going to give it to Masterworks. They're going to go and buy a Picasso for $50 million. They're going to sit on it for 4, 5, 10 years. They're going to sell it. And all the people that own that are going to now take part in the profit. That's how easy it is. It's like not complicated. It's not like stocks. It's like you put money into something. You own a fraction of it. As it appreciates and they sell it, you get that money back. Sort of like stocks, but without all the fucking crazy manipulation. The Reddits and the Wall Street bets, the tendies up your nose, all that shit. All right. They have 300,000 members. Here's the best part. I've joined forces with Masterworks so you can get priority access to their newest paintings. All right. But don't wait, because these paintings sell fast. Their $7.4 million Banksy sold out in under 3 hours the other day. So they said, all right, we're going to buy a Banksy. We open it up. Now, this isn't exactly, you can just go and invest and get ready for the future Banksy. But basically, they filled the Banksy up in 3 hours. You're going to go to masterworks.art/Avery for priority access. That's masterworks.art/Avery for priority access. Again, that's masterworks.art/Avery. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. I'm going to put some money into it. I haven't yet, but I'm going to, because, you know, this is how you fucking diversify and have some fun doing it. And I like these guys. I've met with them a bunch of times and talked to them. And yeah, so that's Masterworks, episode
12.
Episode 12. No gruffs given. Ben Affleck's The Tender Bar just came out on Amazon. So I know the guy that wrote the screen adaptation. He's a good guy. He's a big dog. That also reminds me, if you're an LA area writer and you have writing chops, okay, send me a DM, okay? Because I've got two ideas that I want a writing partner. I want to start writing some things, okay? And I want us to write and then go and sell them and then have them get made. I have direct inside knowledge that the entertainment world has now officially shifted out of the woke world, and they're going to go back to making real television shows like 1883. I'm not a big fan of Yellowstone now. It's too watered down. All right. 1883, the first season of 1883 is incredible. It is fucking incredible. All right. They've left the town. They've gone 50 miles in four episodes. They've crossed a river. It's all exhilarating. Okay. It's taking you back to 1883. When they were making pilgrimages, when they were fucking pilgrims, okay? Just what they had on their back, and they were trying just to get across our country. They weren't going to LAX and flying to New York. They were going from, I don't know where they started, but now they're going to Oregon, California. It is an unbelievable show. I've been told that the Hollywood establishment is going back to the model that works, okay? We don't want to see these... And just like that, did we talk about that? Did I talk about Sex in the City, how bad it is? A couple episodes ago, yeah. Anyways, so The Tender Bar, Affleck Pitt, it was a huge book, okay? It's a good movie. It's a good movie. I have a couple of issues with some of the casting. Affleck is fantastic in it. I think he could have even cranked it up a notch. All right. Or I say, if the supporting cast was a little bit better around him, would have made the movie better? Or could it have been written better? I don't know. It was a B. It wasn't an A for me. I liked it. It's a great way to pass 2 hours. But, you know, that's it. I don't even know why I had it written down, but I guess I wanted to talk about it. Oh, God. Oh, my God. AOC. What do you want me to say? How would you like me to? All right. So if you're one of these crazy people, right? Or if you're one of the non-crazy people, can we all agree now that the crazies are full-fledged crazies? How many times have you seen AOC chastising you about taking a mask off? Now, if it wasn't bad enough that there's numerous videos of her walking into pictures with her mask on, taking her picture, her mask off for the picture, and then leaving the mat. Like, there's fucking tons of videos of her doing as what she wants versus what she wants you to do. Well, AOC decides to go down to Florida for a little vacation. Could you have picked a worse time to go to Florida, AOC? No, you probably couldn't. All right. Not only that, you go with your boyfriend who wears sandals and he has feet that are not tempered for Florida sandal weather right now. All right. You got to ease yourself into the sandals. You got to give yourself a little runway. You say, you know what? Prime sandal wearing time, 2 weeks after I start wearing a sandal. That means you don't go to Florida and just bust out the sandals. You got to do some dry runs wherever you are. You got to get your feet ready for sandal weather. She rolls down there with her boyfriend who has not prepared. He gets killed by everybody in the world because his feet are so gross. She turns that around and says, "You want to fuck me and my boyfriend, I think." She ends up going back home. By the way, she's without a mask, all right, in gay bars, hugging giant queens, dancing, doing everything that she should enjoy doing because this is America. But she gets COVID. She comes back to New York. I don't know if we've heard anything out of AOC. The point of the story is that this is the same woman that's been telling you to wear a mask and social distance. And if you don't, you're killing people. This is the crazy fucking diabolical AOC who goes on vacation to Florida without wearing a mask and comes home with COVID. All right. That is the world we're living in. And if you can't see the gray space, the gray matter, well, you should get a fucking subscription to the Montreal Gazette. What can I say? Voter ID. And I just want to be brief on this, okay? Eric Adams, I can tell he's going to be a disaster in New York. And I know a couple of my friends have bellied up to him and, you know, they own nightclubs and it's good to be in tight with the mayor. I get that. But this guy is going to be a fucking disaster. So we know voter ID equals racism. So if you're an American or a Canadian, if you have to show ID to vote, if you think that's racist, well then you're nuts, okay? If you think that it's racist to ask somebody to present their voter ID, their ID to vote, but you think it's totally okay, to like, do you see when you walk into a restaurant and they ask you for your vaccine papers? So you can vote without an ID, but you can't go and eat without your vaccine papers. Is that totally normal? Because to me, I say, well, that fucking something doesn't seem right there. All right. So Eric Adams, he's on board for allowing 800,000 legal non-citizens to vote. First of all, what the fuck is a legal non-citizen? How is a legal non-citizen legal to vote? Explain that to me. All right. I would think that if you're a non-citizen, you're a non-citizen. That means you can't vote. All right. I live here on a green card for God knows how many years, waiting. I'm still waiting to become an American citizen officially. I can't vote. But if I come here illegally, somehow I'm a legal non-citizen who can vote. So these legal non-citizens who don't pay taxes, or maybe they do because they're legal non-citizens. How do you even take tax money from a legal non-citizen? Well, you do if they're on a green card. No, they're not on green cards. I don't know. All right. But he's all in. He's all in. Okay. I guess my point is that I'm looking to join a California militia, really, is what I wanted to get to. That was the long way of getting to it. Or the National Guard. If anyone has any information on a California militia that's legal that I can join and go away and have weekends with like new guys, teammates, meet some friends, I'm all in. All right. I'm all in. I'll pack up my bike. I'll join a California militia. I'll do weekend activities. And yeah, you know, I'm not looking to go to war. All right. But I'm looking for a new community. What else was I going to say? I don't think, well, let's talk to Mike because yeah, it's important to talk to Mike. Episode 11, 12, no gruffs given. Let's go. So Mike Rapson, Mike, that's how I say Rapson. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
What's Rapson?
Oh, my grandma told me it's a mix of like everything, like Scottish, Irish, English. Everything. I didn't really get a clear answer. A lot.
you're born and raised in Ontario.
Yeah, I Scarborough like every other kid, and then my parents moved us to Pickering, where I would say I'd be more or less than anything raised there.
Yeah, same with me. We moved there when I was, grade 9. We moved there. I was in Kitchener. Well, I was in Scarborough till I was 8. Then we went to Kitchener. Then we went to Halifax, and then we came back to Pickering. So, who was your former employer?
My former employer was York Regional Police, just north of the city.
So, do you have to live in York Region to work for York Region Police?
No. You can commute from anywhere. Like, there's been some crazy guys that drive from like Niagara, but most people live either in Durham, you know, Peel or Toronto or York, one of those, or even Barrie. That's about as far as you want to go.
When did you start on the force?
I got hired in August of 2005, went to college and hit the road at the end of the year.
Wow. So you were a cop for how long? 2005, what, 17 years?
Yeah, I didn't quite finish my 17th. I was about midway, my 17th year. Yeah.
And at 20, is that when your pension kicks in?
No, I think the earliest, at least in this country, 25 years, I want to say, is RCMP. And I think the rest are 30 years minimum. Or there's like a factor, like if you become a cop at 40,
right,
retire with 20 something years, maybe.
Right. And they grandfather it in. Okay. So up until, let's talk about 17 years. Well, let's talk about 15 years. How were the first 15 years as a police officer?
Oh, it was fun. It's everything. I mean, it's amazing. It's also, there's horrible times too, but mostly good. Like you have a riot with your platoon. Like you start on the road, right? Like rookie, and you go to crazy calls. I got on when I was 21, and I'm going to domestics and trying to give like advice to married couples fighting. Like it's a wild ride, right? And then you know.
So it kind of has that interesting. I think what people don't realize is like pre-George Floyd, pre-COVID, the life of a cop. We would hope the cops were respected in the community, probably a little bit feared. But there was also a sense of camaraderie between you guys amongst yourselves, right? Like you guys got up and went to work every day and you had fun. You guys were ripping it. You guys were young, you know, for the most part, everybody's healthy, fit, and you're trying to do a good service.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. My first few years, we had a really, really tight platoon, really, really tight. Went through a lot of crazy things. Like we had we had 4 police shootings on my shift alone, which is like really, really high, especially for this country.
Yeah.
So we were really tight. Like we went through a lot of like crazy, crazy incidents as a shift, like about 25, 30 officers. And we were super, super tight. It was awesome.
And so when do you feel like, if we kind of fast forward to today, when did the shift start to happen for you guys? And this could be a little bit of a combination of, you know, the Floyd stuff and then obviously the COVID shit we'll get into. It's a little bit of a different, but it's all in the same bag.
Yeah, I think a lot of those American incidents for sure, like George Floyd and all, and there's been a couple more, and it's definitely the media. Even up here, like they grab onto it and then they grab onto other things too. And it's so toxic. And I found, especially the last few years, even our own management or command or chiefs or even associations were afraid to rebut stuff like that's in the news. And it's just like,
right,
we're all being branded as this and it's not true. Like,
right. Yeah. Like, in New York, you see, I don't know if this is, so the unions obviously always have a loud mouth, right? They have generally it's led by their leader, like Pat Lynch in New York, who I think leads the Benevolent Society. I don't know if that's the police union, but there's always a guy that will kind of stand up for cops and say, these people are full of shit. He'll be the bad guy, right? I guess in Canada, does that exist, or are there even that sort of position where?
Yeah, we have our associations, like everyone's got one. in all the departments, even like OPP and RCMP. I'm not too sure on this, if it's like the same, but yeah, they're elected and they're paid to fight for every single member and defend us when I feel they should, or at least I feel they should. But no, I mean, yeah, the last few years, I mean, have I felt alone from getting that, you know, people defending us, police in general?
Yeah.
No, not really. It's sad.
When the Floyd stuff happened in York region, did the budget cuts start? Did the defund the police movement and all that bullshit, did that start up there? Or was that sort of...
No, that's just more... It's more like a hashtag or some poor shit you see online. But in terms of like budget, I don't think it's hit us that hard. Toronto, I think it's screwed a little bit just because it's like the biggest municipal force in the country.
Yeah.
And it's Toronto, right? It's just like it's Toronto, right? It's the center of Canada or the biggest city in Canada in terms of that. But
yeah, they're always fighting about budgets probably. And I'm sure there's changes that come and go. So I guess really what we're saying is, once the COVID stuff took over, that's when everything started to change.
It's definitely, for me, it was definitely the straw for me. I'm not built great for politics. I've always been one at work to speak up when I think something's horseshit. And politics, I would speak up when politics would get in the way of us being safe, right on the road, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, some commanders who were incredible cops at one point, I think they forget what it's like being on the road or in dangerous situations. And I think politics and the media and high commanding officers being afraid to say what's right, I think, is why we're here.
Yeah, it's funny. It's an interesting analogy. I've said it so many times where guys that I played with who then go into front office positions and or coaching, they just become a completely different person. Like I say to myself, and we talk amongst each other, like, this guy, what happened to this guy? This guy was one of the good guys, and now he's fucked. He's totally fucked. He drank the Kool-Aid and he's got no spine now. So I don't think that there's a big stretch between the two worlds, and there's definitely a lot of similarities. When did the COVID vaccine, because I guess we should tell everybody, you're now a former police officer, right? Why don't you take me through what happened?
Yeah, so the last year and a half, maybe I'll give them a pass on, when I say give them the pass, I guess everyone that's making the decisions for us these days, I'll give them a pass the first like few months, where even my wife and I, so she's a pediatric nurse. I won't say the hospital. She's still technically employed, but we took it serious because we didn't know what we were dealing with yet. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, she's a peds nurse, looks after kids, and we have two young kids, and like everyone else, I think me, or not everyone, but at least we did at first. We're like, what is this? Fuck. Your kids aren't going to leave the house, right? So,
right.
Then we'd go to work, and she'd come home, and she'd leave her scrubs in the garage, sneak upstairs, have a shower before the kids are, because we didn't know, you know, if this thing was going to, you know, be bad for our kids, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Same with me. Like, you go to work, and during.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say first 6 months, everybody was probably on the same page to a certain extent. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so we give them a pass. But then you start to see, like, on the road, like in uniform, sorry, like on patrol. I was in patrol before I went to my last unit, but it wasn't passing the eye test for me and my wife, and I think a lot of people at work. The way that the hospitals were being described, at least in her eyes, and what she was witnessing, wasn't what was on the news, and it wasn't what even our own, our minister, not our minister of health. Yeah. Christine Elliott.
Yeah. Yeah.
She would say things, and I'm like, babe, is this what's going on in the hospital? Cause she's saying this, and it absolutely wasn't. So you just start to, when you start seeing the lies, especially by our own health people, you just start to look more and question and wonder what's going on. And then even at work, you know, cops, I think people think are in shape and like the movies and all that shit, but we're not. Like, I say we, but a lot are. There are a lot aren't.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that. How does that, do fat cops feel shame? I mean, I don't have, how else can I ask it? Cause like, I've seen you, I've seen your social media. You're one of the guys that like, you get out of the cruiser and you got some fucking presence to you, right? Like you look like the way a cop should look. Okay. Is there friction internally between the guys that are healthy and the guys that are unhealthy?
You know what? There never really was. Maybe like there's been a few guys who are like completely out of shape and you almost feel sad because they're gonna fucking die of a heart attack probably. But yeah, you know what? There's always a different mix on a shift. Like you got the guys who are in shape who push others to work out on their lunches, right? Or people who aren't in great shape, or people who love doing paperwork. I hated paperwork. I fucking hated it. I'd rather be on the road arresting people.
So yeah.
The divide of what people think of others and, or that whole like camaraderie of, I guess, being super close and that thin blue line that people talk about, it used to exist. I'm not really sure if it does anymore, to be quite honest.
Well, it sounds like, you know, okay, so COVID happens, right? And eventually, so 6 months go by and some of the cops like yourself who physically, you guys take the job seriously, you're out there, you're on the road, you're seeing what's going on, you start to say, yeah, this isn't adding up, right? So you guys start to probably project a type of attitude and feeling. And now you've got the other guys inside that are probably afraid to die and they're reading into the narrative going, oh, this is going to kill me, right? If I get this thing, I'm fucking done because I'm 70 pounds overweight and I got diabetes or whatever it is. So I could see how that sort of internally probably started to really gnaw at like the system, right? And just boil that to the surface.
Yeah, it did boggle my mind though that like we weren't having medical calls or no cops were dying and we drink, we shift work. A lot aren't in shape. You know, especially the shift work, the fucked up sleeping patterns, the drinking, some being super overweight. No one's died in our department.
Right.
Some guys got sick. Some guys were like, I heard were like physically ill, but most guys were like, or guys and girls, I should say before I get yelled at, they're fine. Lost their taste or something. Most people were fine. And I am surprised that I think most think this is complete horse shit. They're afraid to say something. But there were some that were afraid. And you know what? That's fine. I if you want to be afraid, cool. But I'm not. And I think what's being portrayed in the media and from our government officials is complete garbage. It's not true. And
when did you have you had COVID?
I have no idea if I wouldn't, even if I, you know what, if you get the sniffles, I don't know, maybe I've never bothered getting tested because I don't care.
Well, what's funny is, and you know, I'm the same way. The only difference is that in America, we have these tests called antibody tests, which you can go and fucking, they take your blood and they tell you you've had COVID. I've been told in Canada that these tests aren't available or they don't exist. I mean, I don't know. They definitely aren't available because you haven't had one and everyone else that I've spoken to hasn't had one. So they don't even know whether or not they've had COVID or they haven't had COVID.
I believe you can pay for one, but then again, I am far from anybody medical. And this is just from friends who work at the hospital, which I have plenty of. I think the test here only tests for antibodies from the actual vaccine. Again,
right. I think you're right. I think that I've been told the same thing. So they
don't even think they want to. I don't think they even want to have what you, because I've listened to you talk about it. There's two tests, but whatever you get, they don't even care about that here.
Well, they don't, because then that's going to, you know, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a month ago, they finally recognized natural infection. So they recognize, they admitted that there's some people out there that have had COVID, they have antibodies, and they're okay, right? Now that whole fucking narrative might have changed because of Omicron. Who knows? I guess it's interesting because, and I assumed that you didn't get vaccinated and that's why you quit, because you had had COVID. But that's not the case. And I know, listen, I hear what you're saying. You're not afraid of it, right? You're not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. I had it. I didn't have time to have it. I just blew through it, right? So let's get to the decision on how you made that, because you're no longer a police officer, correct?
No, I'm not. So for my department, I'll at least give them this. Toronto police actually have suspended officers without pay for not taking the vaccine. So they didn't even have an option to test. So for my department, I had to take two tests a week, just based on the amount of hours I work, just to show up to work, right? So at this point, everyone in the world who will open their eyes and listen knows that if you have the vaccine, you still get it and spread it. It doesn't matter. Everyone knows, right? Yeah. Don't, whatever. And I should say this. So my unit, I worked in a break and enter unit. And my team was incredible. So my bosses were incredible. One of my bosses played against you in junior, had some funny stories for me.
I don't want you to say his name, but you can tell me after.
Yeah, I'll tell you after. But my team in itself, so my command are ordering them to make sure that I have a negative rapid test or whatever.
Right.
And I knew,
by the way, they don't work, but that's fine.
I got side story for that. Actually, ask me about my pharmacist after this. But my wife and I talked all the time. Like she's telling me the horror stories in the hospital of the shit that's being overlooked and the lies. And then I knew knowing me, I knew that I wasn't going to last long doing this. Just knowing that I have to now basically
obey.
I don't even obey this. Well, this whole thing is complete tyranny, but take a test to show that I'm not a risk to others. When my whole career, I was in units that were very risky. I love catching bad guys. I love going into, I love doing dangerous things as quickly as I could. Right. And that was, and there's a lot of officers like that. And I just, after the first week, I did my two tests and I came home. I'm like, babe, I can't fucking do this. This is, I feel sick. I feel physically ill that I have to show up and work with my team, who's extremely supportive. And I'm the only one, if this rapid test is even fucking right, that for sure doesn't have it. It just doesn't make any sense. And then it just felt so gross. Just like the people who are coerced into taking this fucking thing. I just felt ill. And it got to a point, and this was the point where I knew I couldn't do it anymore.
Was it because you just, and I understand that feeling, like, and it's almost, I think there's certain people that have that feeling that are built with the ability to just not cave, right? And so did you quit or did you get fired?
No, I resigned.
You resigned.
I resigned. It's like somebody's watching over Mikey and my family. So Jen and I, we were investors in real estate. And last year, over a game of Yahtzee, playing, drinking some red wine, we decided we'd become real estate agents. And not knowing that this was coming, it was just more for our own buying and selling stuff. And we love real estate. We've been doing it for a decade. It was like the stars aligned and I was able to leave with my head held high. I'm very vocal at work. Part of me was worried about getting fired, just for speaking up, right? Like these days you can't say shit. So it was just like, I can still provide for my kids. I mean, because there's a lot of people who won't say anything. They know this is horseshit. They know this is completely wrong on all levels. But if they quit, how do they feed their kids?
Yeah.
And I don't blame anybody.
I get that. I get that. And I understand that. I guess, so has York Region, have they implemented a mandatory vaccine? Like, or did the date get pushed off? They did, and then they came off it? What's the status there?
No, so York, they did change to so the officers now that don't have the vaccine, they have to get tested. They have to pay for it. So it's like,
I think, out of their own money?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much is that how much is that twice a week?
It's $40 a test. I've gotten messages from my former coworkers, around $4,000 a year, $35,000 or $4,000 is one of the two. I can't remember.
Wow. Okay. So that's, okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that. So right now it's a test. There's a test policy. So if you're not vaccinated, you can stay on the force. Was that because there would have been too many cops they would have had to fire?
I don't know what the number was. It was a few hundred. Most decided to get tested. A couple of close friends are currently off on not getting paid. And then another great copper friend of mine, he left. He was in our holdup unit. He walked away. Same thing. He went before doing any tests. So, you know, him leaving almost gave me the courage and, you know, like, fuck, maybe this isn't it. I don't have to be a cop my whole life.
Yeah.
Keep my moral and.
Yeah. Well, no, you definitely don't have to be, and you're not going to be. I shouldn't say never, but you know, you never know what happens. You could always go back and decide to do it. That's crazy that they're making the officers pay for these tests on their own. That, you know, $4,000 to a civil servant, like, who the fuck made that decision that the cops, that's coercion, whatever the word is.
Well, yeah, it's
you're trying to make these guys, you're taking money out of their pocket because they won't get vaccinated. You know, $4,000 is a lot. It's a lot.
The car payment, right? It's $80 a week, or it's a car payment. It's just not in your budget, right? You budget for your kids' sports or other shit, not this, right? It's just, yeah. And it doesn't make sense, because my biggest thing with our union, our association, who is completely useless, was show me, okay, we pay you really good money to defend us, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm being told by my wife, who's a nurse. This is the data I'm getting from our own hospital websites. Can you at least bring to me the reason why I have to get tested, but the rest of my unit and others don't have to, when everyone knows that they carry it too, right? So it's discrimination on all levels. It doesn't make it.
Yeah, no, I, it's almost the fact that they're making cops pay for these tests. I didn't know that. That's wild. That is wild. What else did I want to ask you? Okay, so what now? Right, you've left the force. Obviously, the real estate is full time. Do you just flip houses, or will you actually now start representing people to sell or buy?
Both. We had a good start for rookies. We did well, which gave us the confidence in leaving. But at this point, almost, I was talking to my wife last night. So when I sent out that post, the amount of like horribly awful stories I'm hearing, especially now that Ontario shut down again.
Yeah.
I feel like, as much as I can speak out, you know, just be bold and respectful, and, you know, cause this can't get violent. This has to end. But what's going on right now is sick. Like, our kids are out of school, right? Yeah. You know, businesses are getting shut down. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like I'm living in a clown world where, you know, and in my post, I talked about essential. I remember, like, it felt dirty last year when they're like, only essential workers are working. And I'm thinking, how do two parents look at two of their kids and say, me providing for you isn't essential, right? It's
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the thing that I don't understand is why the people of Ontario haven't stood up yet. You know, why there isn't 2 million people marching down the street in Toronto, wherever they are.
Afraid. It's just like,
yeah, no, I know. It's
turning on each other. It's
part of the problem and part of the the thing that makes Canada great. You know, it's a double-edged sword. If somebody, if somebody's out there selling their house in the area, where do they, who do you work for? Do you have a brokerage or?
I have a brokerage. I'll have whoever wants to get a hold of me can just
send you a DM.
Yeah. Just send me a DM for now. I just,
okay. No, that's good. I like it. Yeah. You don't need to mix all that shit into it. If they need to get a hold of you, they can.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one last thing. I appreciate you coming on, and I think that listen, this is the only way that people change their mind, right? Is by hearing other people. So, you know, when I talk to my parents, you know, I feel like I can get through to my dad. My mom's a little bit stubborn. I don't know if she's a liberal. I can't really figure it out yet, but you know, this helps, right? And that's coming from me. That's somebody who's related to me, and I don't take the heat off ever. So that's the point of this. People need to hear what you went through. The fact that I now know that cops are being made to pay for testing twice a week on their own, that fucking blows my mind. I think that there needs to be something. I don't know who we get on that. That's the other frustrating thing is in Canada right now, there's no leaders, right? Like, and listen, I love Roman Barber.
Baber, yeah.
Baber.
Yeah.
I love Roman, but we need a superstar, right? We need somebody that is forward facing, that can stand up on a podium and overtake crowds and get this movement happening. There isn't anybody in the spectrum. Certainly not in the political spectrum. There might be somebody in the private space that's going to make the decision to do it. But yeah. Even that person has to be a special person. They have to be able to pull people together and get them excited to fight for what's right, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Roman, he's trying hard. And I...
Oh, he's... Dude, the guy's a warrior. He's a fucking warrior.
The way shit goes in Ontario, it's just like... They just muzzle them or they just have these fucking votes that they just do on their own, and they grant themselves unlimited power to tell, you know, me and my neighbors that we can't provide for our kids, which is completely, it's just not another world, another planet. But
I've said it a bunch of times. I've asked and I've been thinking about this for a long time. We've all seen the videos of cops, you know, locking up the hockey nets or kicking kids off the ice when they were playing. Who are these cops? And I have a feeling that you weren't friendly with them or you had a tough time. You were once friends with them and then they showed their true colors. Who are these guys that, you know, they put the badge on, they put the uniform on, and they go out and enforce this shit? That's what really bothers me.
Yeah. See, I'll say I'm super lucky that I never had to have a coworker that pulled shit like that. I also had good bosses. When the shit would come down about going to break up this and that out on the streets, I just said to my boss, I said, I ain't fucking doing that. I'm not doing it. And again, my boss was cool. And he's like, no, you shouldn't. It's fucked. Right.
Yeah.
So some of these coppers, I think, is their head up their ass. Yep. It's embarrassing. What's going on in Quebec is completely embarrassing.
Yeah.
I think at some point, if that happens in Ontario, I'll be messaging my buddies, you better not be fucking doing that. Because at some point you have to remember your oath, and this is not it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This is not it.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. That's good. Let's end on that. What's your Instagram? Just so people know if the housing market's fucking... Yeah, you buy a house in Pickering right now. It's $1.8 million. My parents paid fucking $400,000 for it. They're gonna be millionaires off of a box shitty fucking house in a shitty neighborhood. So people are selling and buying. So what's your Instagram if they're doing either of those?
Yeah, it's just Mike Rapson. Mike Rapson Realtor. I used to have it blocked, but now whatever. It's
Open it up. Open it up. It is what
it's open now. And you know what? It's fucking, it's funny though. I just want to address one thing. Only because I think it's Six Buzz or something. I didn't follow it because I knew I might be reading some garbage. Most of it was good, I heard, but just people think that I'm leaving my career because the housing market's hot. It's just fucking insane.
No, you just got lucky. You got lucky. You did something. You played some Yahtzee. Yeah, yeah. You got the fucking Yahtzee rolling, and you said, "Why don't we do this?" And now, you know, you got a lucky bounce. So these people are fucking, you know, the people that write this stuff, they hate themselves. That's all it is. They just hate themselves, and they hate being weak. They're afraid, you know.
No, I'm happy with how far and away after I was overwhelmed with it a bit. I'm happy with how far my post reached, only because like it was very important why I left. Right, you give up your pension. Like I gave up fucking every month of beauty pension from 51 till whenever I die.
Yeah.
So I hope.
No, the real money.
Yeah, I hope everybody realizes that what's going on is very, very serious. I don't think we're at the point where there's no return, but
it's getting close.
Yeah, the fear and the anxiety and the shit being caused by our media is so wrong. And I love what you're doing. I love the guests you have on. People need to listen to that shit with those doctors and like who basically invent, you know, all this shit,
all the stuff that's way smarter, you know, the stuff that we don't know about.
Yeah, I can't even talk about it because it's beyond me, but I love what you're doing, and there's a bunch of people doing it too. And, you know, I just hope it gets fixed before, you know, it's too late and I have to fucking leave with my family.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks again.
I appreciate it.
I'll see you soon. As soon as the communism ends, I'll come. I'll be there at some point.
Awesome.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
All right. Episode 12, No Gruffs Given. You know, let's put our hands together for individuals who don't stand there and just eat shit professionally. You know what? They have morals and they stand up for things. So, I want to thank Mike for coming on. I want to, and hopefully, you know, you never know. Hearing him talk about his story and what he did and how he stood up could help somebody else. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to entertain, but we're also trying to come together, right? For a common good. So we can live, so we can work hard and play hard and have fucking fun. Take care of our families. Speaking of which, taking care of yourself, it's an important motto in 2022. I'm on the Look Good, Feel Good program. I know a lot of you are, all right? I know there's still some of you who have not gone to manscaped.com/Sean and bought anything from Manscaped. I know there's some of you that are walking around with hairy balls and you look like a fucking Sasquatch, okay? The winter is here. I get that. You're in hibernation, but the whole point of winter is to hibernate and get ready for summer. And the only way you can get ready for summer is if you're getting ready for summer during winter. Now, to do that, you got to make sure that you're clean, that you're tidy, that you got everything buttoned up. All right? You go to manscaped.com, you use the code Sean, 20% off plus free shipping. They got the Performance Package 4.0. All right, what you're going to find inside that package, Signature Lawnmower 4.0. It's the premium, best in the business electric trimmer. And they say trimmer because I think early on it was like balls trimmer, but it's pube hair trimmer. It's hair trimmer. Your armpits, your back. All right, you got to ask your mom, I need you to trim my back here. And she goes, okay, son, no problem. It's part of a bonding experience now. We're in the 20th century?
21st century.
21st. How do they know that? What is it?
It's kind of just a plus one because zero didn't count.
Okay. Makes sense, mm-hmm. Michael. Good. So you're going to get the electric trimmer, okay? It's designed to trim hair on loose skin. The Advantage SkinSafe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4,000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land. If you ever get lost, you get a flat tire in the wilderness and you got your DOP kit, you pull out your Manscaped ball trimmer, you got a flashlight. Find water and light and heat. Yeah, Your grooming routine, listen, it's important, okay? I've used the trimmer. I would say that this is the sort of thing that if you've ever been on the fence or if you're using an untraditional method, it's time to get with the modern times, okay? It's just how this thing works. And I've used the lawnmower for the last year and a half. I switch out the blades. I get them sharpened. I get them cleaned. It's the only way to live. They also just introduced a premium body wash from Manscaped. Solves all three problems. Could be a bunch of different things. Well, anyways, the body wash smells great. Okay, cologne infused aloe vera, sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, moisturized. Okay, kick discomfort and poor hygiene to the curb this year and use the best tools for the job. We're in it to win it like Iserman. We're not interested in participation medals in 2022, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you're going to go to manscaped.com, use the code Sean, 20% off, plus free shipping. Cheers to new balls in 2022. Episode 12, No Gruffs Given. Book your cameos, okay? You content vampires out there, all right, who don't kick back to the cause. It's like, you know, at least if you buy a product, you get a product. I get the recognition from the brand, you use the code, that's great. If you don't buy a product, well, then what do? How do you fucking help me? I help you. You're listening to this. You're burning time right now. Well, you help me by going and buying a cameo for either yourself or somebody you dislike or somebody that you love that you need to tell them that you love them. It could be anything. I prefer to bust chops, but you know, I'm fine with the sentimental shit. You just got to go to Cameo. You book a cameo. You let me do my thing. You give me the bullet points and we're off to the races. Episode 12. Michael, you had a couple other, two other hockey things, didn't you?
I think the Evander Kane story is pretty big news. Yeah.
Okay, so we were doing some research. We were trying to figure out what happened because it said he violated COVID protocol, right?
Yeah, so the primary reason the Sharks moved to terminate Kane's contract stems from late December. The forward was placed on AHL's COVID-19 protocol list on December 22nd. After five games with the Barracuda, but according to multiple sources, Kane traveled to Vancouver prior to the end of his required quarantine time. It's unclear whether Kane made it into Vancouver, where he grew up. Following the departure in late December, Kane didn't return to the organization until January 6th. They're saying, you know, they could trade him, but such a deal would include retaining half the salary for the next 3 years at $3.5 million. Probably would need to give up a pick. We've seen like not a lot of teams interested in that deal. So
yeah, so first of all, they're never going to be able to just void his contract. He's going to get all the money that he's owed. That is a fact, except for the days that he violated. So if he wasn't allowed to leave because he was supposed to be in quarantine and he was gone out of quarantine for 4 days, they're going to end up fining him for the 4 days missed. They'll never win this. The PA is going to have to back up Kane. It would set a precedent that, you know, it would be unprecedented. It would be an unprecedented precedent set. Okay. That's not going to happen. The reason I know this is because I went through the same thing, something similar. It's kind of a long story, but when I was in Hartford, I got sent down to Hartford and I don't know. I think I just left. I was like, fuck you guys. This sucks. This team sucks. I can't play here. And I just, whatever. I just didn't go to work. I took a couple of days off. They can only take that money. That's it. They couldn't void the contract. It's not a voidable fucking offense. Okay. If you kill somebody, you can void a contract. Other than that, you just get fined for the days that you were screwing things up. So nothing's going to happen there. You had one other thing, I think, no?
I mean, big LA news with Mark Bergevin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so they hired Bergevin as a special assistant to Rob Blake.
Senior advisor.
So when I heard this, they hadn't announced Blake got an extension.
They're still in talks with the extension, so it's kind of confusing. It's sort of doing...
I assumed that they that Luke was doing Robitaille was doing he was playing it. Basically, Bergevin and Robitaille are close friends. They've been best friends, very close friends for a long time, years, 20, 30 years. I assume that was Luke's way of pushing Blakey out, bring in Berge as the special advisor, and then when I fire Blake, I hire Bergevin. But if they give Blake an extension, then I don't really know what this... Maybe it's just so, you know, Luke can work with his buddy while until he gets a new job somewhere, basically.
It's interesting because they make the announcement. You know, Rob Blake comes out in support with some nice words saying like he brings a wealth of knowledge and experience and all of that kind of just general information that a GM would say. But, you know, the whole email from the Kings follows up with and finishes with, please note, no further details are available and there will be no media availability at this time. And so they don't really want to explain the route.
You know? It's weird.
They don't want to explain the move. So it seems like they didn't want Bergevin to go to the open market. You know, the Flyers still haven't made some decisions. There's still like a lot of teams kind of in flux. So maybe they just wanted to lock Bergevin down. But, you know, it seems like an odd move.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we'll get to the bottom of it someday. I think that's it. Episode 12, No Gruffs Given. I'll see you guys next week.
This podcast was produced and edited by Embassy Row.